Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the regular trustee meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. Today is Thursday, September 1st. The time is now 7:01. And I would first like to start by recognizing a special guest here in the audience. We have Trey Williams with us. Trey is a resident of the township. He is also a 2011 Eagle Scout Award recipient. And I would like to ask Trey to please, let's all rise and have Trey join, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Trey, would you mind joining us up here at the podium real quick? Trey was gracious enough to help us dedicate this year's community gardens over off Worthington Road. And what Trey and his fellow scouts did that was so special there was they built some raised beds that, seven raised beds, I believe, that were ADA compliant, I guess. Can you talk a little bit about that again?
What we had done is we really liked the idea of the community gardens because gardening is something that we had always done as a family. And we noticed that if somebody was over there in a wheelchair or something and wanted to do gardening, it would be really difficult for them to do that on the gardens that are on the ground. So we built beds that are raised up off the ground so that a wheelchair could get underneath them so that they could still do gardening on top.
Great. And then since then you've received your Eagle Scout Award. Can you talk a little bit about what all went into that?
The project is always the big thing that everybody hears about, the Eagle Awards, but it's really, that's just like the final step, because through 8 years of scouting, you're learning these different things, and you're getting the merit badges, and doing all the community service, and it really, it just prepares you for life and prepares you to be part of a community.
And you're at Central High School, is it?
Yeah.
What year again?
I'm a senior this year.
You're a senior, great. You know where you're going yet?
No.
Not yet? Still up in the air. Great. Any trustees have any?
No, just thank you. I think it was just a great project. I really appreciate your help on it. Congratulations. Becoming an Eagle Scout is very difficult.
Quite an honor.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
It's very good. I told Trey before the meeting that they really got a lot of use this year because I think the other gardens were so wet that people had trouble getting in there. So I think they flipped over to the gardens that you made and utilized those. So they were in full use. Hopefully some of the folks that weren't able to bend over as well or had a disability were able to use those as well. So appreciate your efforts.
Thanks. Do you have family here this evening? I think I see your mom.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you. I know you must be very proud of them. So, we're glad to have you as a resident. Absolutely. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Okay. Let's go next to our fiscal officer's report. And I know Mr. Myers is not with us. And we have Donna Batten, our assistant fiscal officer.
Good evening. First item on the agenda will be the approval of the June 3rd regular trustee minutes.
I'll move to approve the meeting minutes from the regular trustee meeting held June 3rd, 2011.
I'll second that. Is there any discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Second item would be the special trustee meeting minutes held June 14th.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes of the special trustee meeting held June 14th, 2011.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
final set is for the special trustee meeting held June 27th.
And I will make a motion then to approve the meeting minutes from the special trustee meeting held June 27, 2011.
Seconded
by Trustee Lewis. Flip a coin.
Jump ball.
Any discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay.
Moving on to the McNamara Park Project, Phase 1. We have, after we do the account, I'll be asking for approval for the first payment application on that project. Just like we had to do with Freeman, Route 3 and Freeman Road project, we need to set up an account for the retainage for the contractors. So my first item with regards to the McNamara Park would be the retainage account.
Chairman, I'll make a motion to authorize a fiscal officer to open an account for the purpose of depositing the retainage from payments for the McNamara Park Phase 1 project.
Seconded.
Any discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to the pay application, number one, to Republic Builders in the amount of $87,254.16. Retainage of $9,694.91 will be deposited into the newly opened account.
Okay, I'll move to approve release of payment to Republic Builders, LLC, in the amount of $87,254.16, and to deposit $9,694.91 for retainage for payment application one for the Freeman Route 3 Road project.
Second.
Any discussion? Republic is doing the Freeman Route 3? That's why I thought there was a mistake here. This is for McNamara?
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. That's McNamara Park. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's big. All right, I'll amend my motion to say the same amount. I'll just read it over. Move to approve release of payment to Republic Builders, LLC, in the amount of $87,254.16, and to deposit $9,694.91 for retainage for payment application number one for the McNamara Park project.
Seconded.
Any discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. And the last item on our agenda is to Shelley and Sands for the Freeman and Route 3 Road project. The amount for payment release number two is $100,544.18, with $2,019.40 of that going into their retainage account.
Okay. I will motion to approve release of payment to Shelley and Sands, Inc. in the amount of $100,544.18 and to deposit $2,019.40 for retainage for payment application number two for the Freeman Route 3 Road project.
Seconded.
Any discussion? How close are we coming to finishing?
From what I understand, the red light is near coming in. The phone lines are in the way of the red light, so they're going to have to bore under State Route 3 to...
They're going to bore under State Route 3, and then after those lines are relocated, they're going to put up the red light. ODOT cannot put up the red light until those lines are removed because they obstruct the view of the red light.
Oh, really? Did they know that ahead of time, or is this something that...
No, once they put the red light up, it's like, oh, my goodness, there's down the road a bit, or, you know, 20, 30 yards down the road, there's an obstruction of view. So they didn't realize it till they put it up.
Oh, okay.
And are we on the hook for that?
No.
Okay.
Good.
And then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I assume then the crosswalk lights aren't working, and we haven't done anything as far as encouraging
nothing's
pedestrian traffic through
illuminated yet.
Okay. Do you have any sort of timetable on the drainage pipe on the south side of Freeman as well as the trail?
They're working on the pipe currently. They were down in the area Perkins Road digging today, so I'm not sure what percentage they are complete, but after the tile's in place, then the stone is applied to the top, and then we can contact the pavers responsible for that job.
Yeah. I passed there today, and it, quite an operation. They had the pipe was still laying there in front of Mr. Is it
Shortland?
Yeah, he was in a chair right there, so that's good. He could watch everything as it was being done. Did you see that too?
No.
Yeah. He was right there, and I was waving. He didn't know obviously who it was, but it was very interesting. And they've gotten the ditch dug, but then this great big pipe is right there. And very interesting.
So if you had a ballpark, when the entire project would be done?
October 1st.
Okay. Including the trail? Including the trail?
What do you think, Bob? Depending on the contractor that does the paving. October 15th, let's say. Let's allow for some rain dates, et cetera, in there.
Okay.
2011, right?
2011.
Thank you for clarifying.
Okay.
I'll have everything in your eyes' office, the release of payments and the minutes to be signed after the meeting. I'd also like to add an agenda item under maintenance. Bob, correct me if I'm wrong. Do we need to do the supplemental?
From McNamara?
Mm-hmm.
We can do that later.
Later meeting.
You want to do that? Okay,
yeah.
Never mind. We won't add anything to the agenda.
Is there any further discussion, though, on this motion, though? Because we still need to call the roll.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm the one who started asking the questions, so. Are there any other comments regarding the release of payment to Shelley and Sands for the Route 3 project?
No. Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Now I'm done. Thank you.
Now I'm done. Okay. All right. Let us go now to the public comment portion of the meeting. I know that we have some folks here that like to speak. I would ask two things. One, that you would sign in at some point in the back, and then also when you approach the podium, just state your name as well as your home address, because we are on recorded audio. You do?
Yeah.
Well, actually, we could probably just give them the wire. We have a wireless mic.
Here, you'll be able to hear me.
Yeah. Well, we need audio.
Oh, you do?
Where
are
you
at?
This is
run audio.
I get nervous when I do one of these. I wasn't a karaoke type. My name is David Borders. I live on Jay Cox Road, 6044 Jay Cox. It's my wife, Sue. We've lived there since 1981. When I first moved here, I liked the rural setting. There was deer cattle across the street. I'll make this quick. But I'm here to talk about, put a bug in your ear about the Jay Cox Road Sheffield Park. Okay, I was first informed about it just Monday when I got back from vacation. I had a little thing in the mail, and there was a community meeting here last night, and there was 55, 60 people here. There was probably 98% of them negative with concerns of the soccer fields. And the main reason, my main concern is the traffic. When you think about a soccer field, and I'm a soccer dad. I've got two kids. My son coaches soccer at Old Tansy right now. Jay Cox Road is already used as a cut-through or a throughway from Worthington. People coming from Westerville to go down, they go down Jay Cox Road. And it's 19 feet wide. The new road, Sheffield Park, is 36 feet wide. Speed limit on Jay Cox is 25 in Sheffield. But there are basically, what I understand, they want to put two soccer fields there in one alternative. Okay, there are 11 players plus the subs per side on a team. There's usually four or five subs. That's 15, 16 players, and plus the coaches. That's a minimum, and I'm talking conservative, of 20 cars per team. One game equals 40 cars, and that doesn't include dads to drive separate because of working and mom's bringing, or grandma and grandpa, which on my side came to every one of their games. So you're talking 40 cars per game, two fields, that's 80 cars. They will play 7 to 8 games a day on Saturday and Sunday. They will play on Wednesday night, on Thursday night, on Friday night. COSA plays all the time. because this is how they make money. They charge people to play soccer. Okay, so you're talking a minimum of 560 cars a day, and that's being conservative. Okay, that's being conservative on Jay Cox and Sheffield Parkway, and on Saturdays and Sundays. I mean, that's my main concern. And I got on the website today to find out when this meeting was, and I read a whole thing about Genoa, about McNamara Park, and it said on the website that it draws hundreds of people every day to this park. And I know that to be true. I put my bicycle in that park and ride up and down the path. And so these 560 to 600 cars are just the soccer field. This doesn't include people that might just want to go to the park and push their kids around the park or whatever. So my biggest concern is traffic as far as soccer fields go. And I was a part of the future development plan in this township in about 1986. And I came here and I wanted to figure out, you know, what the plan was for Genoa. And I remember one of the trustees, I don't know who it was, but they were saying, hey, we don't want to be like Orange Township. And that really kind of stuck in my head. And so, but I misunderstood the whole thing. I thought that 1.1 houses per acre meant that, okay, they're going to have big lots, because one of the trustees, we want big lots. And I thought that meant that, okay, the acres would be, you know, 3/4 of an acre, maybe 7/8, whatever 1.1 equals out to be. Little did I know, when they started developing Sheffield Park, that they bought 220 acres, okay? That equivalented to 242 houses. And then the 11 acres across the street on Worthington, where gardens are now, was 12 houses. That equivalented to 254 houses there, okay? That, and then all of a sudden, the developer came back to the township and said, look, that land across the street on Worthington is too low for our sewers, so we want to give this to the township, but we want to keep that 212 houses over here, so we need to lessen the width of our lot by 5 feet. As it ended up, by the time you take 40% of that land, that 220 acres, for open space, which is required by the township, that minus is 88 acres. By the time you take 17%, which is required for streets and right-of-ways, that deducts 37 acres. Don't you know that we're going to have 254 houses now on 95 acres? And I'm thinking, man, that's not a heck of a lot different than Orange Township, as far as I'm seeing. So I'm thinking, and then I come here the other day, and I had no idea what I was going to say or what I was thinking about this. I want to find out everybody's input. And I look at that sign and I said, the vision, residents of Genoa Township wish to preserve the township's rural character through protection of open spaces and valuable environmental resources. And I'm going, there it is. To me, when I come over the freeway bridge, it's bad enough that all I see is one big house. You can't see the 50 or 80 or 100 houses. It looks like one big roof. You know, you need to drive from after road over the bridge and just stop looking at it. But now I have to look at how big is a blacktop parking lot that will hold 560 cars a day, 80 or 100 cars at a time, or 200 cars at a time. You know, to me, that's not protecting your valuable environmental resources. So I suggested planting wildflowers. You know, I said, let the hummingbirds and the butterflies, let's step out of the box. Let's not be like Orange Township. Let's do something different. And so I got on the website and I was reading, and I read a little bit about the trust. I saw Barbara. Her main goal, quote, her main goal is to protect the township's green spaces. And I thought, I'm going to lean on her. And then I read Carl. And he represented a broad base of clients in his career interested in conservation. Oh, this is good. And I'm going, land use and agriculture. And he was one of the first to be hired to establish the Ohio Division of Natural Resources and the preserves. And I told him earlier, I said, dude, I'm going to put my arm around you, you know, because we need your, as a community, we need your input. At this meeting, I understood that it was a burden of the township to mow that ground. Five people, including myself, volunteered. They said, we'll take that burden right off the township. I've got a big old Ford diesel tractor and a brush hog. My neighbor, John, he goes, I've got a Ford diesel tractor and a brush hog. He says, we can get that property mowed. It won't cost the township a dollar. So before I went to this meeting, I didn't really know on the bottom of that sign there was a name of Ron
Kyle.
And he's on the development, parks directory or whatever. So he returned my call the morning after the meeting. We talked for 45 minutes. And his opinion was he's going to sell these trustees. It's a win-win situation because COSA is going to pay for everything. And we're going to have a park. And I said, but they're not paying for the blacktop, the walkway. And so the township will have to come up with money for that. And I was always led to believe that if it's too good to be true, chances are it's not. And I'm thinking, what is a win-win situation when it comes to putting in 560 cars a day, not including the park visitors, on Jacob's Road? I said, there's nothing win-win about that. And before it was all said and done, we talked for 45 minutes. He says, the traffic would be a big concern of mine. And you can ask him about that conversation, because at first he said, oh yeah, this is good, we can do this. And I'm thinking to myself, why do we have to fill up every inch of Genoa Township with something? You know, why can't we leave? Because I mentioned to him, I said, I went over the bridge the other day and 9 deer jumped across there and going into that land. And he goes, well, there used to be buffalo here too, but we don't have that no more, you know. And I live down on Freeman Road, there's deer trees down there. And I'm going, yeah, but you know, if there's a blacktop parking lot and there's this and that, you know, well, why can't we come up with another? I mean, trust me, I'm all for the parks. I love coming to the parks and riding my bike and doing different things. I mean, I live in the woods. I'm a country boy, but soccer fields, I mean, one of the fields that we went to when my boys were playing soccer was over in a community called Potter's Creek off of Linworth Road. And we would have to walk 3/4 mile through this project to get back to the soccer field because their parking lot was full. And I built 3 of those houses in Potter's Creek. And the people told me, they said, you know, I wouldn't have built here if I had known this was going to be this way. And so there's no statistics that say that land values will lessen because of there's a soccer field, or, you know, we can't come up with any vitals on that kind. But being in this business for 35 years, I'm a firm believer that if MI wasn't starting that project now, you know, they would have a harder time selling houses knowing that there are soccer fields and people, you know, knowing there are soccer fields there. So I guess I just wanted to put that bug in your ear. And so we're going to the meeting. I'm going to the Parks and Directory meeting on the 7th. And I'm going to try to understand where the township's coming from. Everything that I've heard so far is because it's not costing us nothing. But you know what? COSA is a corporate machine. And they make money on kids playing soccer. And I just don't think the township needs to be turning over our land that was meant for a park to a corporation that is going to charge everybody to play soccer. So I appreciate your time, and you'll be hearing from us.
Thank you, Mr. Morris.
Thank you.
And I think, and I'll let the trustees chime in too, but I first want to say that, and I know there are other people that probably want to speak to this issue tonight, and that's fine, and look forward to it. We're not, obviously, this isn't on the agenda, this park plan. We're not considering anything tonight. We're not voting on anything tonight. We have not actually been briefed yet on the plan by COSA. We're aware of the plan. We've seen the documents that are up on the website. We heard them when they first initially came in and said they wanted to approach us about this. But we have a lot of questions ourselves. We are actually going to be meeting on Wednesday, September 28th, here in this Township Hall. It'll be at 6 o'clock. We are going to have COSA come out. We've sent postcards, I believe, to all the adjacent residents in that area. We want everyone to come out, and we're just going to have a big, long discussion. And we're not going to take a vote at that meeting either, I can tell you that. We need to get our arms around what the plan is, what is being proposed, what we would be on the hook for. we're going to do a lot of listening and ask a lot of questions. We anticipate having our staff give a report. We anticipate COSA presenting their plan. And then we anticipate the public, whoever wants to speak from the public and share their thoughts, they'll have their chance. So, again, that's going to be on September 28th. We encourage everyone to contact us. In the meantime, they can email us with their thoughts. We've already heard from earlier on, but, you know, we always encourage that kind of feedback. So I just want to kind of get that out there.
Might need more chairs.
I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. But I do not anticipate a vote. I mean, we're going to eventually have to vote on whether to move forward with such a partnership. I do not anticipate any vote before October. I can't give an estimate as to how long it's going to take us to come to a vote. We're going to have the meeting on the 28th. We're going to need to digest everything that's heard. There'll be a lot of loose ends to follow up with, a lot of questions we want answered. But we will be considering that then at some point after that. So for what it's worth, yeah, thank you. We're still in public comment, so whoever wants to speak next. Yes, sir. You need a microphone, yeah. So you can either, we can either pass you this one or.
Yes.
That would be helpful. Sorry.
My name is Bill Ganley. I've been here for a little bit. I'm the president of West William Soccer Association. I shed the mic on. Sorry, I don't get it.
Thanks, Bill.
Sure. My name is Bill Hanley. I've been here before. I live at 3373 Wheelwright Drive down off of Plum Road. I come here not as a quote-unquote neighbor to this idea or this development. I come here as president of WASA, who's been Genoa Township's soccer organization for I can't begin to tell you how many years. I've been associated with the league for 26. I've been president for way too many. Probably around 15 to 18 years. What I'm driving at, and I won't beleaguer a point because I heard what you said, you're not prepared to vote on it. I just want to emphasize a few key points.
Sure.
Number one, my knowledge, as this gentleman here has, of soccer, what it can and can't do for you. Attending the meetings with the Parks and the Planning Commission, all I heard was, gee, it's a win-win situation. It's someone has come to us with an idea. We didn't have to do anything. We can sit back. No, you can't. I was involved with the PROS 2000 quite heavily in Westerville on the planning of Cleveland Avenue, primarily because of the soccer fields. I know what it takes. I know. I have a very good idea of what it takes to put a project like that into place, number one. Number two, one thing to concern me at a meeting was a traffic study. A traffic study was done there over 10 years ago, and these folks indicated there's no need for one. Well, that's the furthest thing from the truth. We had a board meeting through WASA not too long ago, and it was one of the questions that came up, but many of them did involving COSA. Let me give you a background, if I may, in case you don't know about COSA, but you're going to find out. Is the more you dig, the more you will find out. Number one, COSA, throughout the years, I've watched it, I've seen it, has decimated, and I use the word decimated harshly, their recreational program. We incurred all, if not at least 80 to 90% of their recreational children into our program. We absorbed them strictly because they, number one, didn't know how to manage it. Their inner workings of administration lack sorely. There's always been a lack of continuity. And I've had best friends through COSA, in COSA. I can quote you names, Mick Willis, Frank Girosi, people like this, who tournaments have been named after because they're dead. They got struck by lightning, one of them did. That's the reason the thing's named after. But anyway, that having been said, I've seen what's happened with this organization. They have one thing and one thing only going for them right now, and that's their select groups. They have no recreational program. They can quote figures where we have 33% of our recreational players are up here is what they, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what they say. 33%, that probably means nine. in effect. 33 is a great number. 9 is not. That's their recreational program. Secondly, the finances. Our treasurer, who's Don, who's not here tonight, brought in a income statement. We're a 501c3, okay? We make no bones about it. We're not in it for making money. We give back to the public. I can throw our books out to anybody. I have no problem with that. The fact of the matter is they do not, under their current regime, the current circumstances, no way, shape, or form can fund a project of that magnitude. Their purpose is they're losing their land, in all probability, where they are right now. Everybody knows it. It's not a secret. So they're seeking out another place. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them decimate this township like they have down there. They put nothing back into their property. Zero. They've not had to. $1 a year. If I'm not trying to sound bitter. I'm not trying to beat them up too bad. I'm trying to tell you the hard, fast truth, because I can bring countless other people here to bear and explain the same situation. We as WASA came here not too many, a few months ago. I presented you all with a $5,000 check. That $5,000, which is a token of our gratitude for letting us use Freeman Road and the other field that we were using. Nothing more, nothing less. I heard from the committee constantly, well, COSA came to us. Well, I can't begin to tell you how many phone calls I've gotten, and this is not a slam, from the Parks and Rec people in Westerville. Hey, Bill, can you help us out? Hey, Bill, we're looking for this. Can you make a donation in that respect? Hey, Bill, we're putting a dog at Cooper on my mind. We're putting a dog down at the Cleveland Avenue complex to keep the birds away. Can you help out? It's not in the funding. Done. We have been here for years for Genoa Township, WASA. When McNamara Park went in, I was invited to help to be there for the ribbon cutting. Prior to McNamara being open, I came and I said, we will donate the goals, the goalposts, and we will donate the nets. Those are around $3,500, I think. We buy enough of them, believe me. $3,500 a set. There were, I think, 4 sets, something like that. It's not chump change by any stretch of the imagination. That was a sign of good faith. I was told no, because there would be strings attached. And I can't emphasize anymore, we don't have bottomless pockets by any stretch. But we are a soccer organization that's firm, founded, and we are here for Genoa. We have been. I've asked about different things that we could do. The only thing I can do as president of WASA for Genoa is, I guess, give money. I don't know what else I can do. We've talked about utilizing across the way,
The gardens?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
We've asked about utilizing that. Mm-hmm. We'll come in, and it will be turnkey for Genoa. We don't ask anything in return except letting us use that field for our under-5s, which are up here. All the under-5 programs, these are little kids. I'm not talking about the 17-year-olds that I referee and the adults that I referee. No. We want a place up here for the little kids. This is where your constituents are to play soccer. They can go to Olentangy. I've talked with the people from Olentangy. I've talked with the people from Big Walnut, the presidents, the powers, whatever the case. They're shocked. They can't understand how anybody can possibly think COSA can pull something like this off. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. Thank you very much for your time. And listen, if there's anything we can do, please ask. That's all you have to do is ask. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hanley. Any comments from the board?
No, I think we'll be hearing from everyone or anyone who wants to speak to on the 28th, but that's helpful. Thanks.
I assume you're planning on being there on the 28th. Yeah.
You know what my wife just said?
I'm sorry?
I was just thinking about the field that Cooper were in the news.
Joe, we need that.
Disaster,
sorry.
They haven't done anything about the traffic.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, go ahead.
The traffic there, it's just
could
horrible.
Could you start over? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the beginning.
On Cooper Road, the fields there where COSA plays, there's tons of soccer fields there, and they have tournaments all the time. And the traffic there is just terrible. You can't get in, you can't get out, and they've never changed it. They've never tried to, you know, make it better. So I don't know. I just thought of that when you were talking about it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I guess I got one question, Mr. Hanley, while you're here. Chief, could you
call me?
Bill. Thanks. Sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm scared to call me Mr. Hanley.
Okay. Just for comparison, how many games right now do you guys play? When you use Freeman or when you use Worthington Road, the parks. I mean, how many games are you talking?
With the fives, we'll probably play two nights a week. Okay. They play five a side. I would guess four fields, 8, 16, probably 30, maybe, I'm at the top end, maybe 32.
Okay. 32 games total?
Yes.
And a week or?
Yes. Okay. And understand, we don't call them games. It's organized play is all it is. Oh, yeah, 25, I think they're even 25 minutes, if that. And all there is for those folks are the coaches who are on the fields given direction as to which way to go.
Sure.
Not go north and south or east and west, whatever the case may be. But
sure.
It's organized play.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Okay. I just want some sort of frame of reference. I mean,
yes.
'Cause you're obviously in the township having games right now. And
well,
I want to get an understanding of how this compares to the COSA ones.
Right. Unfortunately, we don't get to use the garden area this season because St. Paul's is there. So it's unfortunate for us. We have to seek other areas. That
the 32 games, then, is that the 5
don't,
and under?
Don't use that. I hate that. Don't use that 32 games, please.
But whatever.
Yes,
the games you're talking about are 5 and under, is that?
Yes, ma'am. You 5.
Okay. Those are the
when
ones.
I say you, I mean under. Under
okay,
5. You
sure.
Stands for under.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. That was the only
thank
point.
You.
Thank you. We're still in public comment, so does anyone else wish to speak? Pass it around. Going once, going twice. Yes, ma'am.
Different topic. Allison Williams, we live on Lynetta Lane. You've met Trey. I just really wanted to take a moment to recognize Mr. Paul Wise. I've actually worked with the Cub Scout Pack that comes out of Alcott School as a committee representative to the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts, and now I work with Troop 007, which is the troop that Trey comes from, and I'm the committee representative. And Mr. Wise has been a great supporter of the Scouts and community service projects that the Scouts can do in the township. So I would say for the last,
thank you.
We've probably known each other for about 3 years, and the opportunities that the community has afforded the Scouts and the time that they've been able to spend in the community has been fantastic. So thank you.
All right. That's thank great. You very much.
I think we'll keep them. Great job. Okay, well, if there's no other public comment, then we're going to continue on the agenda. And I lost my place, but we are a new business, Chief Taylor. And before Chief Taylor gets started, we need to recognize a very distinguished honor that he has been chosen for, and that is the Mark Losey Ohio Distinguished Law Enforcement Service Award. This is an award that is handed out by the Ohio Attorney General. Chief Taylor was nominated. I know Congressman T-Berry, officials with the Franklin County Sheriff's Department, and of course with this township, all wrote letters of support for his nomination, and we're proud to say that he was chosen as the recipient of this great honor. So like to call for a round of applause for our own Chief Taylor. He's represented us well for many years, and I'm glad to see you're getting the recognition statewide that you deserve.
Thanks, Rick. I don't know if I deserve it, but
all
of the trustees, thank
absolutely.
You
well,
much.
And a past trustee noted this award, Jerry Cotter. So I must give Jerry credit too, and it's just a no-brainer, obviously.
Right. A lot of support. You don't do it alone. So thank you.
Thank you.
I have a couple items. I know Chief Honeycutt set the standard last meeting, so I have to outdo him by. Well, it'd take me about an hour.
Good. So just how about, I think you owe him, let's see, owes you 3 hours? Is that right?
So,
we postponed the chief's report, unfortunately, last time. He had like
that's right.
a 30-second report, and he said it 3 hours.
Should take about 5 minutes. So, first item is a request from Lieutenant Chivali. He's currently at Park University in his course studies of criminal justice administration. He's requesting tuition reimbursement, and he's transferring to Tiffin University. And again, this is criminal justice administration for his bachelor's degree. And I do have just to clarify, his first course in criminal justice administration is music appreciation.
Oh.
So under previous administrations, that would not have been covered, although this is in the criminal justice administration program. Hopefully this is covered, and I think we covered it in the contract, didn't we? Yes.
I think that goes to help him understand noise complaints.
Yeah. He thought this was going to give it. This was going to be a gimme course. No.
Interesting.
So anyway, his request is a tuition reimbursement upon each class of attaining a B or above, not to exceed $3,000 a year.
I'll move to authorize tuition reimbursement to Lieutenant Russ Chivali for a course of studies for a criminal justice administration degree from Tiffin University. Reimbursement will be based upon a final grade report.
Second.
Any discussion? Chief, will he be, is there like a satellite classroom or something nearby for Tiffin?
All
or is
it
online? Or it's all internet?
Yes.
It's all?
All internet.
Oh, wow.
Online.
Good. Right.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
Roll call. Mr. Carpagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Thank you. Secondly, we have a supplemental appropriation request of $25,000 transfer from our BWC account to our vehicle maintenance account. We are currently out of money. We appropriated $27,000 for 2011. And because of our new program of extending the mileage from 100 to 150,000 miles, this may be coming back to bite us. But this is the first year we have ever ran out of money. So in order to cover us for the remainder of the year, we're requesting a transfer of $25,000.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to authorize the fiscal officer to proceed the following supplemental appropriation to fund 2191-210-323-0013 from fund 2191-210-230-000 in the amount of $25,000 for repair and maintenance of vehicles.
I will second that motion. Is there any discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Carpagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. With that in mind, we have a request for a blanket purchase order for cruiser repair of $20,000. Although we're requesting a $25,000 transfer, we're going to keep $5,000 and hopefully in case of an emergency. Mm-hmm. But this is a blanket purchase order for cruiser repair of $20,000.
Okay. I'll move to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $20,000 for cruiser repairs and maintenance.
Second.
I will second that. Is there any discussion?
Chief, just to clarify, that basically means that if a car needs to go in, we don't have to approve every time it goes
That's
in.
That's correct.
So
yes.
This is, just gives you the money that you
yes.
can utilize as necessary.
For any vendor also. Yes,
right.
That's correct.
Good.
Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thank you.
Good
point.
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Thank you. Goodyear, yes. Next item is Boyd's Goodyear purchase order of $3,119.95. This is to replace a transmission on car on cruiser number 60. Cruiser 60 has 95,000 miles plus. Transmission went out.
Wow.
The new transmission will have a three-year warranty and 100,000 miles. So this should take us over 150,000 miles for this one.
So we didn't have a bumper-to-bumper 100,000-mile
Did not. No.
Special on that one we had.
No.
Okay. I will motion to approve a purchase order to Boyd's Goodyear in the amount of $3,119.95 for replacement of the transmission in cruiser number 60.
Second.
Any discussion? Boyd's Goodyear, I believe, is right here up the street.
That's correct.
In the township.
Yes.
Okay.
Chief, what year, where are we as far as what year car would that be? I mean, with 95,000 miles, are we talking?
It's either 2008 or 9 deal.
Okay, so you're talking two to three years.
Under normal circumstances, we would have just downed it and
right.
replaced it next year, but we're trying to achieve
money.
That goal of 50,000 additional miles.
Chief, can you talk a little bit about what, I mean, it's not even 100,000 miles when transmission goes out. Is that normal? What kind of?
Well, we've had it before, Rick.
Do you do something unusual?
It's the type of driving they do.
Okay.
And it's not fast all the time, but it's a lot of idling. It's a lot of cruising around the neighborhoods with the air conditioner on. It's just very difficult on these vehicles. But we've had this situation before. Not too often, but it has popped up at least once a year.
I think
and these are Crown Vics also, Ford Crown Vics.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, obviously, you know, we had the policy to try to extend the mileage. And if that needs to be revisited, we sit down and revisit it. But hopefully we'll be able to do a pretty good cost comparison of where we are with repairs. The other problem with repairs is it takes the vehicle out of use. And so, you know, you don't have that. Hopefully just keep us apprised of the situation,
yep.
and if
well,
we have
we'll
to revisit it, I'm sure you will.
Yes.
Great.
Thank you. And the last item.
Well, I'm sorry. Do we need to take a roll?
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
And
the last item is a request for our CLIA fees. As you know, we received a recognition award from CLIA in 2009, I believe, and then after that we decided to go for full accreditation. Mm-hmm. With full accreditation, we have up to 3 years to complete full accreditation. After our recognition, we decided let's go forward with full accreditation. However, we didn't want to apply yet. We wanted to get a head start on our accreditation process. So for the last year and a half, we've been working towards that. And we're now prepared to file for full accreditation. The kicker is, the fee, is $7,470 to file for full accreditation. Now that still gives us 3 years after we file, but we anticipate on completing the accreditation by April with an assessment in April from CLIA. And then hopefully if everything goes okay, we'll be awarded our full accreditation in July at their national conference in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Could you explain what CLIA is? So
CLIA is a process of accreditation for law enforcement agencies. And in order to become accredited, we have to comply with national standards, proven standards. Mm-hmm. You comply with these standards, it improves the professionalism of the department. So that's our goal.
Mm-hmm.
And once you attain accreditation, in order to keep the accreditation, you have to continue to comply with these standards, with a reaccreditation in 3 years after becoming accredited.
Okay.
So they basically hold a hammer over your head and maintain these standards, and then they come out and reassess you.
Do other, what do, I'm just curious as to other local departments.
Yeah, good question, Barb. In Delaware County, PAL is accredited. That's the only other agency. In Franklin County, Columbus, State Patrol, Arlington, Dublin, your major suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It's just the process of maintaining and enhancing our professionalism. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you,
It's
Chief.
Not an easy process, but
no.
The fee of $7,470 will come out of our trust fund, which is a non-levy account. Mm-hmm. So it's our seizure account.
So it's not tax dollars, basically.
It's being paid by our drug dealers.
Right.
They have been arrested.
It's the only thing we do appreciate.
Yeah, sure like that.
So we're seizing their profits from their criminal activities.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Great.
I will motion to approve a purchase order to CALEA in the amount of $7,470 for full CALEA accreditation.
Second.
Any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Thank you, folks. And
thank
again,
you,
thanks
Chief.
For your support.
Chief,
you're welcome.
One other thing, Chief, if I could. You and I had a little conversation about it the other day. And I don't know if there's anything we can do from a law enforcement standpoint. I mentioned it to Paul Wise relative to maybe the county looking at the sequence of the light. But up at Tussock and Mount Royal in the mornings for school,
yes.
it's amazing. And I'm surprised there haven't been accidents yet, especially with the inexperienced drivers up through there. But if there's something that could be done to look at that situation, either from our standpoint or from the counties, I think we need to look at that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just to put this thought in your thought process, Paloma and State Route 3 continues to be a very, very dangerous intersection.
Right.
We've had, one or two fatals just recently, another very, very serious accident two or three weeks ago involving one of our residents. It continues to be a very dangerous intersection. I do not know what we can do about that, but it's right on the border of Berkshire and Genoa.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the studies will dictate a light. I hope so. Because of the north or east-west traffic, I don't know if it will allow for a light, but if we have any influence, I think we should have a light there.
I'd like to add something to that. I have talked with ODOT in the past week or so concerning that intersection. They are investigating that internally.
Sure.
Right now, it looks like that initially, right off the bat, they're going to double sign it. They're saying that it's more like people are not making it across the intersection than it is blowing through the intersection. I don't know if it's more of a, they're not judging traffic correctly. They're looking at each of the accidents and trying to define what the cause of the accidents were and do whatever it takes to adjust any of the planning for the intersection based upon how the accidents occurred.
Okay, well, that's a step in the right.
So I heard that they're planning to double sign that intersection. I asked about LEDs, solar LEDs. Carl mentioned that to me, if that's a possibility. They say that people do become immune to those LED signs if they live in the area. They'll treat it like a stop sign and not really, you know, it won't be anything special to the locals unless you're new to the area.
For everybody, when you're traveling that area, be very cautious.
And also on Tussock and Center Green and Mount Royal, I'll ask the county to investigate the sequences of that light. Seems like it's just a short-term blurb in the morning. I'm usually going eastbound off of Mount Royal, turning north on the Tussock. So I kind of wait on those cars to turn left so I can turn left. So it's a difficult intersection, and traffic does back up quite a bit from 7:10 to 7:25 in the morning.
Yeah, it's only about a 20-minute, half-hour period of time, but, you know, as it's getting darker, you know, not as light in the morning.
Young drivers.
We're going to have bad weather coming up, so I would hope that we could get on that before, you know. And if something can be done, fine. If they can't, you know, we'll figure out something. But
sure.
Is that something you can follow up with, Paul?
Yes.
And if I could add on to that, and I don't know if they ever did anything about it, but we had heard, I had heard complaints in the past about that it is always a functioning light 24 hours a day. I mean, the lights that are on Maxtown, I think 10 or 11 o'clock at night, they revert to a flashing light.
Right.
Whereas this Tussock light is always, so I mean, you're driving through there at 4 a.m., you're sitting at a red light for a couple minutes, there's nobody on the road. They wanted to see if there was a way that we could make that into a flashing light during the wee hours. So
okay,
that's maybe
I'll
something
ask that question also.
That'd be great.
I know the Maxtown lights are Westerville lights, so they can control those.
Right.
And they do put them on flash, which is nice.
Right. And this is a county light. I get that. So okay. Thanks. Thank you, Chief. Lost my place. Maintenance. Thank you, Mr. Matthews.
Okay. The first thing on the agenda is McNamara Park update. The contractor is almost done moving dirt. They got about two more days of hauling out the dirt, and they'll be done with that portion of it. And they're going to cut the trails in and cut in the parking lot shortly so we can stone them. And we're working on the storm sewer as we speak, and I would say we're probably 30 to 35% done with the project, and still hoping to be done by before winter. We got the walk path on Old Three completed. It's all done, and now we moved into the park and we're working on the park.
I was over there today and saw Bob, and I mean, it is just amazing if anybody hasn't been there as far as the amount, I mean, how big it is. I guess, you know, you just see it with all the, it's cleared and then big piles of dirt. And I mean, it's just, it's amazing, just amazing, an amazing,
yeah,
it's a huge project, isn't it?
Yeah, I was over there Monday and drove back, and
wow.
It really is. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
and a nice pond, the retention pond out front. And
Paul and the contractor walked through the woods and marked where the trail goes in the woods.
Oh.
And Ron.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to cut that probably next week, and we'll stone it right behind him.
Wow.
Because we want to get stone back in before it rains,
so
and floods that all out.
So you'll have that pretty well. You think you'll have it seeded by this fall?
The plan is to have it.
Yeah.
Boy, you've got your work cut out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be nice.
So.
Yeah. Boy. And the trail looks nice, too, right at the corner.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
All right.
You ought to be allowed to go home after your report.
Moving on.
Okay. I think we're going to have a mattress report, too.
The next item is I need some purchase orders. This is all related to McNamara.
Okay.
And then next one, Paul. Next one. This was purchase orders that we used on the two storms crossing Old Three that we had to put in. We need a then and now for all these. The first one was $1,020.15 to Top Cat Concrete. It's for the flash fill in the road that the county, on the county plan, that had flash fill.
I will motion to approve a purchase order to Topcat in the amount of $1,020.50 for Phil Creek for the McNamara Park project.
Second.
Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Do you want us to authorize the supplemental appropriation first, or does that?
Does no, that was the item that we removed. Well, we didn't put it on.
Donna, the only thing I'd ask is if we're doing the then and nows, do we have money in that line item to pay for the then and nows?
Personally, ultimately, we know deep down we're going to need that money. I think we should go ahead and just get it out there and get it approved. But if you want to wait till a later date, I'm fine with that as well. It'll just hold up any then and now payments until we can get this approved.
Do a retroactive amendment later when you know more about what you need of that. That you want to do.
That's fine if that's what you guys would like to do.
Well, these are already bills that we already received.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that I was worried about. If we don't do that supplemental.
So.
Yeah, I would prefer that we go ahead and get it approved, and yeah, we're going to need the money. We know.
I mean, the money's there.
It's there.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
We already knew we were going to.
Yeah.
So you're talking about this first motion, the supplemental of $100,000.
Yes. Yeah. That's the.
So we should move that. Okay. So that's what you're talking about.
Yes, we would be moving $100,000 from the parks salary account into the park improvement fund.
I'll move to authorize the fiscal officer to process the following supplemental appropriation. To fund $1,760,730,0026 from account 1,610,190, quadruple zero in the amount of $100,000 for the improvement of the McNamara Park project.
Second.
Discussion. Hearing none.
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, the next then and now is to Capital City Crane. It's for three times we had them out to set the head walls on the crossings. And that total is $28.50.
Okay. I'll motion then to approve a then and now purchase order to Capital City Crane in the amount of $1,828.50 for three crane rentals for the McNamara Park project.
Second.
Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
And the next one is a then and now to Paul Peterson Company for $411 for the road and detour closure signs.
Okay, I'll move to approve a then and now purchase order to Paul Peterson in the amount of $411 for street signs for the McNamara Park project.
Second that. Any discussion? Hearing none.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And the last one is a requisition for United Precast for $2,841. It's for four catch basins and one additional head wall.
Make a motion to approve purchase order for United Precast Industries, LLC, in the amount of $2,841 for the four catch basins and one head wall for McNamara Park project.
I will second that motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
I don't see it on the list, but Chief Honeycutt, do you have a report this evening?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I know you do. I do want to just recognize Chief Honeycutt very quickly. He recently organized and delivered a solid presentation, from what I understand, about the corrugated stainless steel tubing issue that we've been dealing with. There were several fire chiefs. I know the state fire marshal was present. You had a good crowd, from what I understand, the press. Was it 50, 30? I don't know.
Probably
30 plus. 30 plus over to Orange Township. There was some very good coverage on that issue. I saw it in the Gazette this morning, and I appreciate your leadership on this. What's that?
I'm just telling Bob
to go. We know how important it is. You did that presentation. It's obviously a very important safety issue that residents need to be aware of, especially when there are storms outside. Be vigilant about the lightning strikes and your gas lines. So I'm just. And what's that? When in doubt, call. Call us. So thank you for that, Chief. All right. Joe.
I'm going to ask a couple people to join me real quick, if you don't mind. Jennifer Russell and Chief Honeycutt.
Okay.
If you could step forward here. Chief Honeycutt said he was upset he wasn't going to be able to do a report this evening, so I wanted to make sure he had a chance to stand in front of everybody. You're not going to join me?
Okay, what do we got?
So I wanted to first thank Jennifer Russell. She's, and I got the name right?
Yeah.
She's been helping out, and I just met her a few weeks ago, but she's been helping out on our tennis fundraising, and I wanted to give an update. We've been trying to look at doing a few different things. We've been trying to look at selling raffle tickets. We're looking at having a barbecue dinner on October 8th. And a tennis tournament also on October 8th. And we've been seeking sponsorships from the community. Our sponsorships haven't been going as well as we had hoped, but we do feel like the tournament's going to be a pretty good success. I got a little thermometer on there to kind of show where we're going, but we've been trying to work with the NatureWorks grant that we have, which is $19,468. And we're trying to add to that. We are confident that we will raise money for courts. Not too confident that we're going to get to the target in the next 2 weeks when we had hoped to come back to you guys. Our goal was to come back mid-September with a recommendation for approval of the courts this year and to complete it by December 31st. So the one item I'd hope to discuss with you tonight was the NatureWorks grant. And the idea that if we don't have the funds to move forward with construction, that we want to sit down and meet with ODNR and discuss the opportunities with that grant. It's my understanding that we will likely forfeit the grant with the inability to raise funds. So our discussion will be what our probability will be to get that grant next year or future years. So wanted to give you that update. And if there's any hesitation from the board in me approaching ODNR, I think that's what I was hoping to seek. We're going to know a little bit more in the next couple weeks as far as our fundraising efforts and as the 14th deadline comes up for us to raise. If the board has any hesitation about approaching or is aware of other revenue streams, we're definitely open to those. But we wanted to give you the update and let you know how it's been going. And I don't know if Jennifer's got anything to add.
Much. I mean, I'm just here to support the tennis courts as a resident and a realtor that works in Genoa Township. It's going to add a lot to our property values to build up our parks, especially existing parks that are already there, and utilize it the way it should be instead of just constantly. I mean, I feel like I'm constantly, well, Westerville's really close, or we can go to Westerville for pools, or we can go to Westerville for this. And, you know, my understanding from the newsletters I get is we're a wealthy community. Why don't we have some of our own things? So I'm all for building courts and expanding the parks and adding to our township.
Thank you for the initiative you're taking and helping us get there.
When you say tennis courts, how many tennis courts?
We had two, if you recall, on the Edsel plan, we had two tennis courts identified. They were included in Floyd Brown's construction drawings as an alternate. So it's not something that we've assigned a contract on to date. Because the base bid hit our budget for the year, we decided that that was something obviously that we were going to continue fundraising for, with the effort of trying to utilize the NatureWorks grant.
So you got an estimate on what it would cost to build two tennis courts, and that's almost $90,000.
It was $89,583.02.
What would it cost? Well, would it cost just half of that to build one?
No, it's my understanding that it's proportionate. And actually, if we added another court, it may be about $20,000. If we added another court in addition to that, it may be less. What the big cost is the fence. So just the idea for us to fence an area. When we've been meeting with numerous tennis pros, and I think the big comment we had heard is for the courts to be utilized for tournament purposes or other things, league purposes, four courts may be kind of desirable. So we've had a little bit of I think feedback from them that maybe eventually we'd want to add additional courts if we were successful in fundraising for two, that we may want to add a couple more down the road. We haven't looked at reducing it just because the grant was for both courts.
Can I add that the surveys that were done indicated Genoa Township residents want tennis courts, and when I go to the Westerville public courts, they're always full. I mean, there's always people standing around waiting to use them. I mean, there aren't a lot of open courts around, unless you belong to like the Lakes or Medallion, which those two subdivisions make up most of that. Subdivisions, besides those two subdivisions, I mean, there's not a lot of people that belong to those clubs. So there's not a lot of places for them to go except go to Westerville, and then they're waiting.
Where are the Westerville courts? I know there's some at, I think, Hoffwoods.
I can never remember the name of the other one. Paul Metzger. Paul Metzger's got quite a few courts.
Yeah.
What's the one on McCorkle?
That's Hoff.
Is that Hoff?
That's Hoff.
Okay.
And there's only two courts there.
Okay.
And they're always full.
And okay. How many courts are at the schools? Are they just courts at the high school?
There's courts at a lot of the schools. But if school's in session,
right.
I don't want to be on those courts. Mm-hmm. And if my kids are in that school, I don't want other people on those courts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're there, but the schools utilize those in the evenings for their tennis teams. And during the day, it's not somewhere I want to go, which really limits their availability.
Okay.
Yeah, there's, I want to say, three or four over at behind Genoa Middle School, over by me.
Okay.
But she's right. I mean,
yeah,
it's just scattered times that you can really use them. So.
Right.
Yeah. So we used them over the summer a lot, but I don't want to go there when school's in session. And
Joe, I guess my 2 cents, I would ask that once you've completed the bulk of the fundraising efforts, maybe come back to the board before you approach ODNR.
Okay.
We want to see where you're at, what our options are.
If you don't mind, we may meet with them once just to understand our options and explain to them, obviously, where we're at.
That's fine.
I
get a little nervous about doing all the legwork to get these grants, and then we forfeit the grant, and then we try to get the grant again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's my understanding we kind of get a black eye from ODNR in returning it, so I wanted to understand how hard a hit that's going to be for us and who's going to take the hit, if it's the township that takes it or if it's that park that takes it, who actually takes the hit. So we'll meet with them, and it's our hope to be back in 2 weeks and tell you that we have $89,583.02.
Joe, who would you be meeting with at ODNR, do you know?
Damian Shipley.
Damian Shipley?
Yeah, he's our representative. I believe he's in charge of NatureWorks and the Land and Water Conservation Grant.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you,
Jennifer.
Thank you. Yep, Paul. We are at administration then.
Got a couple things. I won't keep you tonight. First off, I just want to mention that the child ID system that has been purchased a couple years ago by the township, we're reorganizing it. We're working with the police department now. We're going to have a base station in our office that Don Durbin will handle. And the photo IDs will be, instead of having a big lineup at events and functions of the township, we'll have the availability to schedule appointments between 9 and 11 every second Thursday of the month from 9 to 11. We're hoping that the young kids come in and schedule an appointment. At that time, they'll be in and out. They'll have a photo ID without waiting in line, and we're real excited about that. We do have capability to go mobile with the system, too, like we're currently doing for special events, but This service is now just to add a little bit more to availability to parents. They're free during the day to stop in 9 to 11 a.m. We'll have the system set up and ready to go for them.
Paul, how old should it, and maybe the chief can answer this, but how old should a child be before they are fingerprinted or ID'd? Isn't it a fingerprint?
Yes.
And because I've seen, well, I know some little ones who tried, you know, so they don't, they're not quite old enough. If they're walking, so.
We take a picture of
of an infant, but preferably if they're walking.
Okay, thanks.
And we'll probably take photos up to Joe's age, and so we'll allow about any
photos,
age.
Okay, so. Photos, yeah.
Secondly on my list is the annual request for a purchase order for a Halloween function this year, and as we have requests in the past, requesting $3,000 for candy, supplies, materials, any games we may need, drinks, anything that's not donated we need to purchase and have a successful event for the Halloween function. So I'm asking the board to approve my requisition, approve a purchase order this evening.
And like was mentioned earlier, this is simply a blanket purchase order. It doesn't mean you're going to spend it all. It's up to
Correct.
This amount. I will motion to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $3,000 for Halloween.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion?
It's a great, great use of the money. Boy, a lot of people have fun at that.
What is the date of that again?
That would be the Saturday before Halloween at noon to 3.
29th, I believe.
29th. Right?
Working backwards.
October 29th, okay.
And when's trick or treat, Carl?
Halloween. It's America.
The 31st.
The 31st.
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Let's wait until next year.
Thank you. Fishing day is coming up this month. We've received a couple donations from Kroger's and from Meijer's. And I'd like to ask the board to approve those donations at this time.
Were they fish? No,
they were
bait.
Gift certificates for the event.
I make a motion to graciously accept $100 from Meijer's for the family fishing day.
Second.
Discussion.
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Our thanks go out to Meijer.
Thank you, Meijer's. And for Kroger?
I also make a motion to graciously accept $25 from Kroger for the family fishing day.
I will second that motion. Is there any discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Right. Thank you, board.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. And it looks like we are to the announcement portion of the meeting. The offices will be closed here at the Township on Labor Day, this coming Monday, September 5th. The Parks Advisory Board will be meeting on September 7th at 7 o'clock. I take it's here at the hall, Joe? Okay, because it's moved around once or twice, but it is at the hall. Okay. The Child Photo ID will be held on September the 8th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Where will that be? Here in our administrative offices. Okay. The Technical Advisory Board will be meeting here at the hall on September 8th at 6 p.m. The next Zoning Commission meeting will be on September 12th at 7 p.m. here at the hall. The Fishing Boating Clinic will be held at Hillmar Park on September 13th at 6 p.m.
I think we need to check that date. I think it's the 17th. 13th, I believe, is a Tuesday. 17th is Saturday.
Let's take a look.
September?
Clinic? This is different from fishing. This is different from fishing day, correct?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Tuesday evening.
So we have a fishing clinic and a fishing day. Good.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Fishing Boating Clinic. Hillmar on Tuesday, September 13th, 6 p.m. And I don't see it on here, but yes, our fishing day will be on Saturday, 17th. September 17th.
Mm, yeah.
And I think, is that at 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. to noon. Fishing day.
Fishing day. 9 a.m. to noon. I'm sorry, it is the 24th. Saturday, September 24th.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Will be the fishing day at Hillmar Park.
Yeah. Okay.
From 9 to noon. Sorry about that. And we will also be dedicating our fishing pier at that time, at 9 a.m.
Okay.
As I mentioned earlier this evening, we will be having a special meeting on Wednesday, September 28th, here at the Township Hall. That'll be at 6 p.m. And again, that will be solely to discuss the Jaycox Park proposal. Yeah, it is open to the public. It's at 6 p.m. We anticipate a lot of discussion. And the last announcement here, and I think we'll need to discuss it here, is the next regular trustee meeting is scheduled for Thursday, September 15th at 7 p.m.
Sorry.
Do we need it about the next meeting? I know we didn't really have a talk about it. Are we going to have, I know we have a trustee with a conflict, be out of town on some business. Is there going to be a lot of business, I guess, between now and the 6th, would it be? October 6th would be our next regular trustee meeting.
If something big comes up where we need approval, we can try to coordinate some schedules.
Okay.
And have a special meeting. I purposely put the 28th, the ability to approve it first orders at that meeting, just in case that's a long time away.
Yeah. I would say if it's necessary, go ahead. I mean, I had a change that came up that was unavoidable. And so, I mean, if the meeting still needs to be held, please go ahead and do it. But if there was going to be a major issue of discussion or, you know, a situation, that we might be able to move it. But if not, then just proceed.
I'll tell you what, why don't we go ahead and remove it? And then if we need to schedule a meeting,
bring it back.
We can bring it back.
Well, no? I don't know. No, I mean, I think I'd keep it on. And then, I mean, if there's a major thing, yeah. Then when? I'd rather move it if there's yeah. something.
How long
major
of a notice do you need as far as canceling?
Well, I think I'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I guess I'd rather, because we don't know what's coming. I think okay. we may have some routine
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we could
and
just keep normal every, yeah. you know, monthly That's business right. going on, and then if anything
the
important comes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess as we get closer, we'll have a better idea
yeah.
of what
yeah. we'll
what we need to take up.
Rather than pull it.
If we need to pull it, then we'll pull it. Yeah. If we need to move it, we can do that. So
yeah.
we'll keep it on Thursday, September 15th, 7 o'clock here at the hall.
Yeah.
That's all that is listed here. Are there any other items of business to come for this board? Questions, comments, concerns? None.
I have none.
Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
I will second that motion, and we are now out. Is there any discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
We are now adjourned at 8:24 p.m.